Welcome to Insight for Living. Over the past several weeks, we've been listening to a practical series from Chuck Swindoll called Searching the Scriptures. We're in the final stretch as the eighth and final study concludes soon. Throughout this series, Chuck has carefully described the techniques he's applied in his personal study of the Bible for nearly 60 years. And today, he'll illustrate his process by citing a story of Jesus told in the book of Mark. This lesson brings the methodology to life as we discover the powerful meaning of Jesus' parable for our own times.
You have a copy of the scriptures in your hands. Please turn to the second book of the New Testament, the Gospel by Mark, and locate chapter 4 in that gospel account. This is where Jesus begins to tell stories that are called in the scriptures parables. You'll find an outline in your worship folder. You may unfold and use for your convenience as we work our way through this parable, applying the things we have learned in recent days as it relates to learning how to study the Bible for ourselves. Observation, interpretation, correlation, and then application. We observe what it says, we interpret what it means, and then we correlate what it says elsewhere about the same subject for the sake of amplification and clarification. And then ultimately, we apply it. And this is helpful because in this case, Jesus interprets it for us. So you don't have to rely on anyone else's. We'll simply read what he says, and then he'll tell us what he means. Next time we're together, we want to look at Acts 17, where the Apostle Paul stands before a group of people who have never once heard the good news of Jesus. As he's standing at Mars Hill, at what is called there the Areopagus, and he delivers his great Mars Hill message. If you want to think ahead and read ahead for next time, we'll do the same type thing then. It'll be Acts chapter 17, toward the middle, around verse 17, all the way to the end of the chapter. We'll look there. But now it's Mark 4. Once again, Jesus began teaching by the lake shore. A very large crowd soon gathered around him, so he got into a boat. Then he sat in the boat while all the people remained on the shore. He taught them by telling many stories in the form of parables, such as this one. Listen, a farmer went out to plant some seed. As he scattered it across his field, some of the seed fell in the footpath, and the birds came and ate it. Other seed fell on shallow soil with underlying rock. The seed sprouted quickly because the soil was shallow, but the plant soon wilted under the hot sun, and since it did not have roots, it died. Other seed fell among thorns that grew up and choked out the tender plants, so they produced no grain. Still other seeds fell on fertile soil, and they sprouted, grew, and produced a crop that was 30, 60, and even 100 times as much as had been planted. Then he said, anyone with ears to hear should listen and understand. Verse 13. Then Jesus said to them, if you can't understand the meaning of this parable, how will you understand all the other parables? The farmer plants seed by taking God's word to others. The seed that fell on the footpath represents those who hear the message only to have Satan come at once and take it away. The seed on the rocky soil represents those who hear the message and immediately receive it with joy. But since they don't have roots, They don't last long. They fall away as soon as they have problems or are persecuted for believing God's word. The seed that fell among the thorns represents others who hear God's word, but all too quickly the message is crowded out by the worries of this life, the lure of wealth, and the desire for other things, so no fruit is produced. And the seed that fell on good soil represents those who hear and accept God's word and produce a harvest of 30, 60, or even 100 times as much as had been planted. What a pleasure it will be today to hear what Jesus said and then to see how he interprets his own words.
You're listening to Insight for Living. To search the scriptures with Chuck Swindoll, be sure to download his Searching the Scriptures studies by going to insightworld.org/studies. And now the message from Chuck called Tasting a Sample, Learning Where We Fit in the Story.
Anyone who travels to the land of Israel must visit the Mount of Beatitudes. It's a gently rising slope that comes from the north edge of the Sea of Galilee and rises up to a crest. It's believed that the now famous Sermon on the Mount that Jesus preached was delivered from that mound at the top of that hill, looking down onto the sea itself. The sea forms a quiet bay called the Bay of Parables, appropriately, because it's believed that when Jesus was involved in his Galilean ministry, it was there that he shared many of the parables that have found their way into the book of God called the Scriptures. It is precisely there Jesus was with his friends who had gathered to share this story that appears in Mark chapter 4. The interesting thing about it is that this particular terrain provides a perfect amphitheater so that the acoustics are boosted, of course, without any use of amplification through microphones or speakers. The voice of an individual can be heard even among a large group. British theologian James Edwards writes, "Israeli scientists have verified that the Bay of Parables can transmit a human voice to several thousand people on the shore." Following our first morning service today, my longtime friend Wayne Stiles, who is a real lover of the land of Israel, said that in one of his trips recently, they gave that a try. He stood at the shoreline and had a number of the people in his group gather along the slope up here. And he said, "I spoke in just a conversational tone, and every word could be heard by those who were there." That's the setting for this. Literally, there was a small fishing boat nearby. They are still there on occasion when you visit Israel. But in those days, people made their living from the water as they would fish the waters of Galilee. And he pulled up alongside one of those little boats. And to make it even more intriguing, we noticed that Jesus doesn't simply stand at the seashore. He gets into a fishing boat, pushes out near the shoreline, and sits in the boat, using the boat, if you will, as a pulpit for him to deliver his story to these who have gathered. And they've gathered spontaneously. No one had a scroll tucked under the arm. No one had a copy of the ancient scriptures. They were a group that came most likely from around Galilee, perhaps as far away as his boyhood home of Nazareth, or maybe up nearer Hermon, in the mountainous area, or Philippi. Maybe from those regions the crowd gathered, and we read it's a very large crowd. Now, because of all of that, he tells a story. Everyone loves a story. We're intrigued by the characters in the story. Our interest is piqued by the plot as it turns in its intriguing orbit and brings you to a conclusion that you don't expect. You see, in every parable, there is at least one major spiritual lesson. And you never want to miss that lesson. There may be others you could draw, but there's one especially important lesson that is not stated. But as you examine the story, you learn and see the lesson. I remember as a lad, when I would be fishing with my father and my maternal grandfather, we'd be sitting on my granddad's boat, about a 14-foot fishing boat, little 35-horsepower Evinrude on the back. We would have made our way out to the middle of Karankaway Bay, a bay that feeds into Matagorda Bay and then on into the Gulf of Mexico. But this little bay, usually a quiet body of water, especially in the morning, we would go out long before dawn and we'd put our way out there. My granddad would turn off the motor and we'd cast out. In those days, I couldn't even cast, so I used a fishing pole and I'd drop my line in the water and we'd sit there. As your line landed, it would make little ringlets in the water. It was called a slick. When water is that still, it's called a slick. And in that slick, when there were other boats sometime hundreds of yards away, you could hear everything they said. It was eavesdropping at its best. They didn't know we were listening. And my dad would say, "Listen, son, you'll learn a lot." You know why? Because voices carry across water. We who transmit over radio airways have learned that if there is a transmitter on an island, it will carry literally thousands of miles, sometime to a mainland where we're not allowed to have a transmitter. But because it's on an island and there's the transmission of the sound across water, the surface of the water, it is able to carry clearly in that way. Much easier and better than across land. But enough of that. We come to the story and we want to observe and interpret and correlate and apply, just as we're learning to do in our method of Bible study together. I wanted you to have a couple of examples of our doing this. So right here before us is our place to work. If you're sitting at home at your desk, or in your living room, or maybe at your kitchen table, you would open your Bible to Mark chapter 4, and you'd begin to read it. We observe the scriptures by seeing what the scriptures say. So we read, Jesus began teaching by the lake shore, so you know exactly where he is, by the lake shore. A very large crowd soon gathered, so he got into a boat. Maybe the crowd was so large it pressed against him almost to the water. And to get in the boat is to give a little bit of space between the one speaking and the one's hearing. So here he is in a boat, and he sits down. By the way, he rarely spoke standing up. Standing to preach came into vogue later in time, but to this day, often rabbis will sit to teach. In those days, the rabbi, the teacher, always sat. And he sat down, one among them, in the boat. And we read, while the people remained on the shore, he taught them. Now, how did he do that? Read for yourself. By telling many stories in the form of parables. If you're reading, you're on your own, you come to a word that's not familiar to you. If you don't know your Bible, and there are many who don't, there's no shame in that, you want to learn your Bible. And so when you come to a word like this, you look it up. you'll find something interesting. You will find that parable is a word from the Greek parabolo. And I will tell you, para means beside, and think of a ball, it means to throw. The verb balo is to place or to throw something. And when you put them together, you're putting something alongside something else. You're placing it alongside something else for the purpose of comparison. Now, you hear me tell you that, and you think, oh, I wish I was a scholar like you are. I am not a scholar. I simply have books that give me that information, and then I tell you what the books say, and you think I'm a scholar. All I'm doing is reading and remembering or having written down what was written in the new Unger Bible Dictionary. You can buy one for yourself. When you do, find P. Am I going too fast? Locate parable, and you will read parabolo, to lay by the side of, to compare, so as to see the likeness or similarity. You can read it for yourself. You can own a few books, or you may wish to get online and purchase Logos, and you will have a number of resources you can use. And when you get serious about Bible study, you will no longer be satisfied simply to sit with a Bible in your lap. You'll want to have a pad of paper, and you'll want to begin to take notes. I do that every time I study. I have yellow tablets. Don't know why, but they have to be yellow. Part of my being anal. You have to be a certain ritual, and mine are yellow, and I use certain colors that represent certain things. But I'll write my notes on this piece of paper. From those notes, I transfer to what become my sermon. It is not rocket science. If it were rocket science, I couldn't do it. But because it's simple, I've developed a method that works. So I'm like you today. I'm reading this, and I'm learning while I'm reading what it says. He's by a lake. He's in a boat. A big crowd has gathered. He sits down, and he begins to teach them. Now, I've also made an observation. I've observed that he mentions, or someone mentions, Mark and others, in this chapter, the word listen, or hear, or pay attention, or pay close attention, which is a part of observation. Your mind can't drift to the ball game this afternoon, or to what's for supper, or to something at work if you're going to get something out of the scriptures. So you pray for the ability to concentrate and to think, to listen, to pay close attention, because every word Jesus uses is important. Unlike us, he doesn't run down rabbit trails. He doesn't use words that just kind of fill in the blanks. He uses words that are significant. Not one is wasted. So we're going to observe, we're going to listen to what he's saying. Now that we know where he is by the shoreline, we're going to observe that he is teaching them from a story. Let me go just a little further, and then we'll move on into the story. A parable is always an earthy story. It's told to communicate a spiritual message. So something that is familiar to the hearer or the reader is placed before us so that we might understand a spiritual truth that is not familiar. When you illustrate something, you illustrate it based on the familiar so that the unfamiliar can become known. If I want to illustrate gravity, I will not use law from nuclear science to teach gravity. Both of those are virtually unknown to the average person. I might take a football to illustrate gravity, or I might take something like something that weighs, maybe an iron that you would iron clothes with to illustrate gravity. You use the familiar to illustrate the unfamiliar. Now, when you read parables, you find such familiar things as fish, coins, animals, everyday life situations, a wayward son called a prodigal son, royalty, banquets, a rich person, a poor person. You see, all of those things are familiar to everybody. Now, in this parable, farming is the foundation of the story. So we're going to listen carefully. A farmer went out to plant some seed. Stop. I just stop right there. It's an unfamiliar scene to most people in this gathering today. Most of you have never farmed. I have never farmed. I've worked on a farm just long enough to know I don't want to work on a farm for the rest of my life. It is hard work. I don't know that I've ever seen a farmer plant seed. And at this age, you would think I have, but it's an unfamiliar scene to me. I certainly haven't seen how they planted seed back in the first century, which may surprise some of you. And here are those farmers. They have no equipment. They're reaching their hand in a bag, and they're scattering. They're broadcasting the seed all around, reaching here. They're throwing seed here and there as they walk along the soil of their farm. Very familiar to first century people. So get this. He's placing something familiar in their minds so they will learn something unfamiliar. Got it? If you're going to teach through illustration or through analogy, you start with something familiar. It may be a mirror. It may be something that is familiar to everybody, but you're going to use it to teach something else. I love the way Warren Wiersbe describes the parable. Parables start off like pictures and then become mirrors and then become windows. First, there is sight, as we see a slice of life in the picture. Then there is insight, as we see ourselves in the mirror. And then there's vision, as we look through the window of revelation and see the Lord. Isn't that great? It is. It is really great. Some of you are going, what? It's a picture that turns into a mirror and becomes a window. How good is that? That kind of story deserves my attention.
You're listening to Insight for Living. And today's study represents one of eight messages in Chuck Swindoll's classic series called Searching the Scriptures. To learn more about Insight for Living, visit us online at insightworld.org. So, what are your next steps? How can you actively employ the lessons learned in this practical series? Well, let me suggest that you begin by reading the full-length book that parallels this series. It's called Searching the Scriptures, Find the Nourishment Your Soul Needs. Of all the books Chuck has written, this is certainly among the most important because it teaches you how to prepare your own spiritual meals. And it's available for purchase right now when you go to insight.org/store. Now, please keep in mind that whatever you're able to give beyond the cost of the book will be used to reach others with this life-impacting message. So as God leads you to support this nonprofit ministry by giving a donation, let me explain how you can easily get in touch. First, give us a phone call. If you're listening in the United States, dial 1-800-772-8888. That's 1-800-772-8888. Or it may be quicker to give online at insight.org/donate. And then while you have some extra leisure time over the weekend, we invite you to download our popular mobile app. By doing so, you can easily access this daily program to listen at your convenience. Just follow the simple instructions at insight.org/app. And remember, this coming Sunday morning, you're invited to take a front row seat in the worship center at Stonebriar Community Church. Thousands are taking advantage of this new weekend worship experience online, not only as they hear Chuck's Bible teaching, but the majestic music as well. You'll find all the instructions at insight.org/Sundays.
I will never forget the first time Cynthia and I drove around the bend and we saw the Holy City for the very first time. It literally took our breath away.
And now you can see Jerusalem for yourself with Chuck and Cynthia Swindoll on the Insight for Living Ministries Israel Tour, March 1st through 12th, 2020.
My first trip to Israel was much later in life than it should have been. I've never regretted that journey or any of those that followed. In fact, I wish it had all happened sooner.
Imagine hearing the Bible teaching you've come to respect on Insight for Living on location in Israel. Call 888-447-0444.
No pastor, no follower of Christ should ever pass up an opportunity to see and to touch and to fall in love with the very places where biblical history unfolded.
You have lots of choices, but there's only one tour with Chuck Swindoll and Insight for Living Ministries, March 1st through 12th, 2020. Call 888-447-0444 or visit us online at insight.org/events. The Insight for Living tour to Israel is paid for and made possible by only those who choose to attend. Join us again next week when Chuck Swindoll continues his series called Searching the Scriptures here on Insight for Living.
The preceding message, Tasting a Sample, Learning Where We Fit in the Story, was copyrighted in 2014, and the sound recording was copyrighted in 2016 by Charles R. Swindoll, Inc. All rights are reserved worldwide. Duplication of copyrighted material for commercial use is strictly prohibited.